You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Site support Worthing are running a Bridge for Beginners course starting Thursday the 11th of April. We're joined by James Langley and Alison Bates from Site Support Worthing to learn more about the game and why it's a great pastime for blind and partially sighted people. Hi Alison and James, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Hi.
So can you talk us through the very basics of Bridge?
Yeah, I can take this one. Do you need to caveat that before setting up this club, I had never played a game of Bridge in my life. So it was a very quick crash course in learning the rules. Bridge is a trick-taking card game. It's played by four players in two pairs, sat around a table, and each person is sat opposite their partner. It starts off with what they call the bidding phase, in which players compete in an auction, essentially, to communicate to their partner the hand they've got and whether they're going to win the hand or they believe they won X amount of hands. And then they move into the playing phase, which is a bit more strategic, where each set of partners lays down their cards and essentially tries to win each trick, is the terminology. but that's as much as I know. And as I say, my knowledge on the game itself is limited, which is why I'll be taking part in the beginner's course, because it's something that I've been looking at for a little while. I've been quite interested in, but never really delved into.
When we're talking about it being a strategic card game, for those that think it has to be a visual game, for those of us living with low vision and blindness, we depend on verbal communication. And I really enjoy card games myself, always have. But actually having this kind of game where you're having to, they're called tricks, when essentially you just want to end up winning the most cards or the most lots of cards. And that's between you and your team member who sits across from you. So there's a lot of strategy involved, a lot of gameplay. And the good thing is that as much as the players may need to give away a little bit of their gameplay because of the verbal communication, because everybody's going to be on the level playing field, everybody's going to be playing to the same rules and having the same communication needs, it's actually going to make it, you know, completely fair, completely level. And actually equally as competitive as if you were playing a regular sighted version of the game.
And how long does a typical Bridge game take? Is it quite a sort of long-term strategy game, or are there shorter rounds?
So when you play, to win the game, you need to win two rounds, but you can keep playing. And it's one of those you can keep it going for as long as possible by taking breaks. If you've got that same, the same two teams essentially playing each week or each month or each day, it doesn't actually matter. You can just keep score and keep going and have it over a long term. You could play it over about 45 minutes. You could be playing it for 3.5 hours. Like with any strategy game, I think it comes down to the players themselves and how they want to play that game, how they would like it to sort of play out. Because if you just want quick games, then you're going to relax the rules ever so slightly. So the intent is that you want to get as many tricks, which is as many little piles of cards as possible. So to make it a shorter game, you would actually just start with a lower number. Whereas actually, if you're going to up the ante, if you're going to increase the ability to make it complicated, you're going to make for a much longer game. And that's what we'd like people to be able to do, is start off relatively simple, just so you can learn the rules, learn how you're going to communicate with your team members, and also be a bit calculating by learning how the competitors, how they're actually going to communicate, and hopefully using that against them.
It sounds like a really good team building and way to engage your brain game. What were some of the reasons you've been keen to learn it, James?
I play poker quite a lot, which is a very individual game. A few of our members had mentioned wanting to play Bridge, and it kind of sparked something that I wanted to start it as well. And as I run the events here at Site Support Worthing, it was something that I could do quite easily. We've had some recent success with a chess club that we started. We've had two beginners classes of that and three intermediate sessions with those now. And that's taken off really well. So we're going to follow the same format where we'll have those short stints of sessions, three sessions in quite quick succession. It becomes more skill-based and skill-developing than just a social and recreational activity, which has been really successful with chess. And as I say, people have asked if we can do something similar with Bridge. So I'm hoping that it will be as successful, with a view to have a bit more free play in our timetable, so we can invite people in to set up the boards or the tables for Bridge and come in and just play recreationally, as well as being able to learn.
And why do you think it's a game that's well suited to people with lower vision or no vision?
I think, as Ali said, the finding ways to communicate without sort of revealing your hand and problem solving is something that comes quite naturally to people with low vision. It's something that we do day in, day out, quite second nature sometimes. You don't even realize we're doing it. We've got the Braille and the large print cards, so we're hoping that it won't just be a visually impaired group. It will be open to everyone. It will be as inclusive as it can be, you know, sighted or visually impaired. People can play with their friends, and if they can learn the skills here and then pass it on, it's something that they can take away from here and do separately from us as well.
And a great thing is actually showing what an asset those skills are, because it's very easy to think that when you can't see, you can't fully participate. And we just think it's so important that we can break down all those barriers, especially if it's a communication barrier. And, you know, we're thankfully in a place to be able to make those changes. It's just, like I said, a massive deal to us to be able to make any game fully inclusive. And so far, as James has said, chess has been a massive success. We're hoping bridge will be. And then hopefully we can just broaden that and eventually just have sort of drop in game sessions, because as we've probably noticed since COVID, people are massively investing in gameplay and things like cards, because they're easy to transport. You can go anywhere and play a card game. So it just means we can encourage that sort of socialisation as well.
Are there any other regular events or upcoming events this spring that people should know about at Site Support Worthing?
We've recently taken delivery of a showdown table. So British Blind Sport have provided us with this table, and it's basically like table tennis, but you're blindfolded and it's got high sides to it. So we are in the very early stages of getting our own sort of mini league put together. Very early stages. We're just getting expressions of interest, and we're going to start that off by just doing sort of casual drop-ins. And if people are actually interested in playing it competitively, we're hoping to play against other clubs around the country that are being set up similarly.
And where can people sign up to the Bridge Beginners course and learn more about Site Support Worthing?
Yeah, so our website is www.sswcharity.org.uk. You find a full list of our upcoming events on there, or give us a call on 01903 235 782.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, James Langley and Alison Bates from Site Support Worthing, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio to talk about your Bridge for Beginners course.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.